Hello and welcome to a new month, new show, Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week, we're pleased to have Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello and welcome.
Good day, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. Let's just begin like we always do, a COVID update. I hear hospitalizations are leveling, maybe even declining a little bit, but it's nowhere near saying it's over. What's the situation like there in Columbus?
Well, I point to a couple of things, and you're right. The hospitalizations have declined, which as a community makes us feel good. But I want to remind people is if you're one of the folks who's hospitalized, that's cold comfort to you. And we still believe that the majority of the people who are hospitalized are unvaccinated. And we've got some data that indicates here in Bartholomew County, we are about 54% vaccinated. So we still got a ways to go. And I believe what this means for us is that we will continue to see spikes from the coronavirus, on into the future until we reach a place where, 75 or 80% have either been vaccinated or had the virus itself and recovered. So it's still a topic that's on the front of our consciousness that we want to encourage people to get vaccinated. In the meantime, until you're through the vaccination process, please wear your mask. Because you not only have your own health to worry about, but the others in your family and neighbors.
What are you hearing about the booster shot? I know the state health commissioner says if you want one, you can get one.
Yeah, I've been boosted. Got the first chance we get. Both my wife and I are over 65, so I don't really think of myself as being in a high risk category, but we satisfied the criteria, so we both signed up for and received the booster shot, and it was pretty simple. You just walked into our primary care provider and told them we were there for the booster shot, and that's what we got.
Any city departments there hurting with any type of labor shortage due to contracting COVID and quarantine, or is it just mainly trying to find people to work?
Well, it's all the above, and I kind of lump it all together. And where we're particularly noticing that is in our transit department, bus drivers. We have an acute need for full and part-time bus drivers. As you can well imagine, it's not a skill that everybody carries with them. You've got to have a CDL, commercial driver's license. And I forget which A, B, or C, which one you have to have. But yeah, you can't just walk in and apply for that one. You have to have a little bit of experience and then that particular license. But in the areas that, that require us to respond daily, whether that's police and fire and sanitation, we're able to meet the needs with the staff that we have. So we haven't had too much of an issue with respect to absenteeism, either due to COVID or other factors.
Let's get to an email. Art emailed in a little bit a while ago. We couldn't get to it the last show, so I want to make sure I get it in now. He's asking about the former Fair Oaks Mall was shut down before COVID. At the time, there was talk of remaking it into a health and fitness facility, if he remembers right. Is there anything happening with that site?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and most of it's indoors. I mean, at meetings that we have with our partner, Columbus Regional Health, and then with the architects. We've hired a firm called MKSK, and with respect to our 75% with the city's portion, we have received what's called a schematic design. We're still, and what that tells you is where they would put the walls and put the field house. That's their first suggestion, I guess I should say. And so what we have to do is work through how much that's going to cost and whether that's within our budget. And we've had, I think we week before last, we met with them for 2.5 days. They were here in town and felt like we made some progress. We were waiting now for them to return with a more updated schematic design that I think fits our budget parameters. Columbus Regional Health is moving forward as well with their build-out plans. They will have the Carson's space, and they're gonna put quite a few physicians in there and build out that whole space. It may take them 3 years or so to complete the build-out. It will take us, a couple of years to complete the build-out. But we're continuing to move forward. The plans that we have now for the city space provides for a field house, 150,000 square feet, which is a soccer field and a half. Or maybe an easier way for me, I never played soccer, to get that is three softball fields with 200-foot fences. So there'll be a significant amount of space in there that can be used for a variety of purposes, not just turf-type sports, but we'll be able to bring in temporary hard court and play basketball, volleyball, and anything that you'd need a solid wood floor, you know, to manage. So we're moving forward. And it's like, I told you before we turned on the recording, all our projects are moving forward. The pace sometimes, is frustrating, but yeah, we're going to get there.
And I'll remind anybody listening right now, especially if you're from Columbus, you can always email news@indianapublicmedia.org and ask your question as well. I did, a while ago, we talked about a parking commission for the downtown area. And I flipped on today in the Republic and I see that the city approved updating the study. So could we get an update about the parking commission and maybe what it's found and where you are in that process?
Well, it hasn't found anything other than the need to provide a little bit more study. And so we have approved a contract with a firm called Nelson Nygaard. They did a study for us back in 2013 that took a look at downtown parking. And it's interesting to note that since 2013, we've seen changes in two directions. I mean, the number of employees who work downtown went way up, and reached a high point in early 2020. And then they've gone way down. In terms of the number of people who report to work daily in downtown Columbus, Cummins has a significant presence in downtown Columbus, and they're just not filling up their buildings daily. We think that census count will increase, but we don't know what to, we don't know when, and hopefully this study will provide a little bit of insight into that. The study will be broken up into four pieces, and I can't give you the names of those four off the top of my head, but at each point or after each segment, we'll have the opportunity to go forward or not. If the Parking Commission sort of likes the results, feels like we're making some progress, they'll continue or authorize the next segment. And if we're not making any progress or the data is not available, then we'll just stop where we are and wait until it is. But the cost of that's around $19,500. We expect it to start sometime after the first of the year. And it could take a year, to play out. So downtown Columbus is relatively small. Washington Street and a little bit of parking on Franklin and Jackson. And although we've got a couple of parking garages, sometimes they're not as heavily used as we would like. So how we sort of encourage people to use those garages, it may be part of the way we encourage them is better enforcement on Washington Street. I mean, that's what we hope to learn, from the study, from the activity. The documents have been signed and we'll start when the contractor's ready. And it wouldn't surprise me if it's after the holidays.
I also saw the city needed just to do some housekeeping, moving some funds, fire, transit departments to pay for overtime. This year, we've been covering the struggle for overtime and retention in the Bloomington Police Department. So is this something that, again, kind of goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, the lack of workers or just more work?
Well, again, all the above. It's important to understand, at least with respect to Columbus, we're not, municipal finance can sometimes be a little counterintuitive. And what I mean by that is that we're asking for more money on our overtime lines. And overtime breaks into two categories, scheduled and unscheduled. You might wonder why you have scheduled overtime. Well, police officers work a two-week shift. I mean, it's easy for them to get 48 hours in a week. And so that's scheduled overtime, or at least 8 hours in that example. To the extent that we have people who are out either because of quarantine or because they're COVID themselves, then we end up with unscheduled overtime. And between those two, we have exceeded the budget. And so we need to move some money from another budget category. We don't need more money. We just need it in a different line than the one it's in right now. So that will go before the city council again on November 2nd and ask them to for permission just to authorize some additional spending on the unscheduled overtime line. And it will come from other salary and wages lines elsewhere in the budget.
Let's talk about the downtown, I believe it's the downtown TIF district, mm-hmm. in regard to the urban grocer housing development. So the city uses a TIF to pay a bond to bring the development there. And I think that's $11 million in bonds projected. Is that correct?
11.8, I want to say, but somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. And then $2 million in TIF money.
Correct.
To help with the developer to build that. And that is going up, did you say tonight, Tuesday night?
Well, the first part of that will, authorization for that will be on tonight's city council meeting, November 2nd. The area that we're talking about here is east of our jail, south of 2nd Street. We've got about 10 acres there that is grass. And we've accumulated this ground over a period of time. A good portion of it was gifted to the city by the Irwin Sweeney Miller Foundation. Some of it was purchased by the city, Bob's Car Wash being the most recent example. And so we propose to build something or have something built, you know, on this ground. And got to keep in mind right now, since the ground is owned by the city, it generates zero property taxes. Okay, so what we have come forward with here is a program where we would have a developer come to town, build about 200 apartments, and a urban grocer, about 15,000 square feet, might be 12, but somewhere along and through there. And that will generate, we think, about $500,000 in property taxes. And so that property tax that we will generate will be used to pay this additional bond payment that we just talked about. So we'll also issue a bond that will defray some of the developer's costs. It'll be in the $11 to $11.8 million range and will be paid for by the property taxes that are generated by the project. And there will also be a guarantee by the developer who will guarantee that if the property taxes, for whatever reason, are insufficient to pay the bond payment, he will pay the bond payment. So obviously, it's important to have a developer's skin in the game, as we say. And so not only do we have the corporate guarantee, but we have got an individual guarantee as well that will go along with that and gives us a lot of confidence in their ability to perform this project and bring it online as they have designed it. So again, we don't know if it'll be 194 apartments or 206 or whatever the final number will be, but it'll be somewhere around that 200. So you could think maybe 300 people might be a little bit of a stretch. We don't really know what the occupancy will be, but it's important to us to try to provide for some more foot traffic downtown. You know, we want to support the restaurants and the other entertainment venues that we have in the downtown area. We think this will help that a lot. It's also been important to us to provide for a grocery store. We've had a couple of people look at downtown Columbus. They've identified that we may have what they call a food desert, which means that it's just a little difficult for people who are maybe not as mobile as some of us to get to a grocery store. And so we want to be able to provide that option in the downtown area. And I know myself, working down here, every now and then you'd like to go someplace where you can buy some aspirin. I mean, we're not asking a lot here, just a place where that's within easy walking distance. And so that's part of what we're trying to do.
And what's the total, projected cost of that development?
It's close to $40 million.
$40 million, right. And is the Blooming Foods still part of the discussion of being that urban grocer?
They're still under discussion. Those discussions occur between Blooming Foods and Flaherty and Collins. Flaherty and Collins is the developer, and you know they're the ones that sort of have to, make it work. And we get a report every now and then. And the last I heard was they're still talking. So I would love to have Blooming Foods here. You know, my wife and I drive to Bloomington as it is, to visit their store and find it to be really, an attraction. So I think it would go well here, but that's not my decision. Unfortunately, they're going to decide.
Something else interesting that you brought up, I wanted to ask about the central TIF share with the school. I think that's up for either discussion or vote tonight, about $1 million. And that's not something I hear about in other cities. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, in many communities, there's a little natural tension that exists between TIF districts and school corporations. TIF districts tend to skim, is a word that some people use, some of the property tax receipts off the top. And the idea is that they reinvest those back into the district and create more assessed valuation in that district. And so we've been very successful in Columbus with what we call our central TIF. You know, this stretches out to the Waynesboro area out there where there's a significant industrial park and reaches downtown. I mean, it's pretty broad in its scope, and it brings in $8 million bucks a year, $9 million. And we feel like there's plenty there. I mean, we're able to do what we need to do in the TIF area, and we can share. So one of the places we've chosen to share with is the school corporation. And it's interesting to note that state of Indiana in its TIF legislation provides for TIFs to be able to contribute up to 15% of their revenue with school corporations or to school corporations. So the whole idea, you know, behind the TIF is economic development, enhanced economic activity. And so what we've done is approached the Bartholomew Consolidated Schools and said, hey, you know, what kind of programs do you have that will better prepare a young workforce? And so they've identified those and given us an opportunity to enhance what they do in that area. And so we're happy to be able to do it. We had for the last several years, I'll say five, awarded $750,000 a year. And so this year made the decision to go to $1 million. And so that's the proposal we'll put in front of the city council this evening, that we fund $1 million of economic development education, if you will, that would be carried on at Bartholomew Consolidated Schools.
You know, by chance, just what more specifically that the school would use that money for?
Yeah, again, I'm real quick with this stuff, sometimes not, but we talk about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We talk about transition, and what that phrase implies is perhaps educationally disadvantaged kids who need a little bit extra training to be able to participate in the workforce. And we talk about mentoring, and those are situations where you've got kids who are at a high degree of risk for dropping out of the school system. I mean, just not completing their high school degree. And what we sort of believe is that the teachers, the administrators there at the school corporation, they can identify those kids pretty early. I mean, they kind of know what the characteristics are that mark those kids as high risk for that that result. And so when they can, they can apply, some extra guidance, as I said earlier, mentoring that would sort of reach out and counsel that child into trying to complete their degree and making them understand why it's important to do so and so on. So, you know, we're happy to be able to pay for those things because we believe that they enhance the workforce that we offer here in Bartholomew County. And if you talk to prospective employers, particularly those who are considering a move to Columbus or Bartholomew County, I mean, they're all about wanting to know the workforce. You know, what kind of level of education do you have? What kind of school system have you got? If they need to be taught how to weld, do you have that available? And so on. So, you know, we feel like it's money well spent. We're glad to be able to do it.
And just to remind those who are listening to this on Wednesday, this is recorded Tuesday, so the meeting is Tuesday night. Can people, you have an online streaming, right, of your city council meetings?
Yeah, people go to our website, columbus.in.gov, and follow the various prompts. They can find their way to a live stream of the city council meeting. We start at 6 o'clock. We allow people to show up. I mean, the doors are open. We ask you to wear a mask. But yeah, the public is welcome to attend the meetings. But if you want to view it online, you can through our city website. We don't have an easy way for people to comment, but I encourage people to email me. You know, I check my phone during the meetings, and I try to explain to everybody it's because I'm checking to see if I've received a public comment. Mayor@columbus.in.gov or mayor@columbus.in.gov, and you know, if your comment's pertinent to the discussion, we'll try to air it and get it addressed. If not, we'll get back to you the next day.
No, we're getting short on time. Any holiday festivities? We're in November already. Next time I see you, hopefully we'll be in December, but any festivities returning this year?
We do. We have our Festival of Lights Parade. You know, we've taken a few years off, 1 year off from that. That's the first Saturday in December. So I don't have my calendar in front of me. So if that's the second or the fourth or what have you, but it's the first Saturday in December. And the parade will be most of what it was. I think I heard that the organizers are going to limit the number of entries to 75, which is down from 100, because they want to try to control the crowd a little bit. But yeah, it'll be an opportunity to get outside. Hopefully the weather will be cool, but dry, and we can have a little bit of fun.
Thank you so much for your time. I always like to leave you with the last word. Do you have any special announcements or anything else that we should know?
Oh, wow. Well, as I said earlier, I mean, all the things that we're working on here in Columbus are moving forward. Sometimes the progress is a little frustrating for me to take, but I think we've had a good year, and it's particularly gratifying given the COVID challenges that we've had for 20 and 21. I look forward to sort of having a little bit of this behind us and a little bit more fun in 2022.
All right. Thank you. And I hope to see you next month.
Take care.
Bye-bye.